1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll read two verses here. You're probably very familiar with the context of 1 Timothy chapter 3. The first part of the chapter, the Lord gives the qualifications of a bishop, which is the office of a pastor in the church, and then he follows that up with the qualifications of a deacon. Both of those positions have some pretty hefty qualifications, and both of those positions are positions of service. They're positions of ministry. The pastor, while he might be in charge, if you want to say it that way, he is the servant to the church. He's the minister to the church. Deacons, while they may have some ability and pull when it comes to different decisions that are made in the church, primarily that deacon position is a position of service and of ministry to the people. And the pastor and the deacons work in concert with each other, not against each other. And I can honestly say that at Spring City, I so appreciate the men that serve as deacons in this church. Every now and then we'll have a little disagreement or a different way of seeing things, but I'm telling you, God has so given us wonderful unity here. And I can call these men in a drop of a hat, and I know they'll be willing to go do whatever needs to be done for our church. And fellas, I appreciate that. That's really a blessing. Not every church has that. Amen. But we've got that here right now. And so these positions and the men that fill these positions, they're not just, I don't know, how do I say this? They're not just filling a position, but they have to be qualified to fill that position. But both positions are positions of ministry. And the Lord has Paul follow up those qualifications in verse 14. He says, "These things write I unto thee." Now, we know he's writing to Timothy, and that Timothy is a young pastor at this time. Most likely, this is when Timothy was over in Ephesus. And the Bible says, "These things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." And while Paul might have written that to Timothy, can we not see the Lord Jesus Christ saying that to us? "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." Just as soon as the Father says, go get him, he's coming. Amen. And he says, verse 15, that's the Lord's desire. That was Paul's desire. Verse 15, he says, "But if I tarry long." Well, I don't know about you, but 2,000 years is kind of a long time. In my book, anyway. In the Lord's book, it's been a couple days. Amen. "And if I tarry long," here's the point, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Now, that's not the message this morning, but it is important to note, and I'm going to say more about this when we get into the message after we pray. It is important to note that God cares about how things are done when the saints assemble together. He's interested in that. He's particular about that. I'll say more about it in a minute. But then he goes on to say, and here's the message this morning, "in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." I'm glad he's not a dead God. "The church of the living God," and here's the message, "the pillar and ground of the truth." Let's pray this morning, and I'll dive in head first. Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the good day. Thank you for all these folks that came to be here today. Lord, again, we rejoice for the good, cold, refreshing drink of water that you gave us over the last couple of weeks. And Lord, I pray that the work that's been done in our hearts and the refreshing, Lord, and the encouragement over the last 2 weeks will just continue on today, Lord, and continue on for weeks and months and years into the future. And Lord, we thank you for loving us. We pray that you'll help this morning now. Help us to learn these things that you have for us out of your word, these lessons, these principles. Father, speak through me to the heart of your people. And I pray today, Lord, these folks are so faithful. It almost seems like we're preaching to the choir. But Lord, just to try to combat anyone who might be fainting in their heart, Lord, or considering pulling back from the church. God, I pray today they would understand what a vital part of their life you intend the church to be for those who are saved. We thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, rising again the third day according to the scriptures. And Lord, we know that we exist in the church. We are the church of the living God, those who are saved. And Lord, it's all because of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that. Pray you'll help us today. Help us to mix the preaching with faith that it might be profitable and effectual in our lives. And thank you again for how you've blessed us for 90 years. And we just humbly ask, Lord, we beg, we plead that you'd bless us for however many years long we've got left until we see you in the clouds. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I intended Friday night to give my testimony of what Spring City Baptist Church means to me as the pastor. And Miss Rose wanted to do it, so I let her do it. Amen. And that's fine, because I always have the audience, right? I can do that anytime. And I'm not going to do all of that this morning, but I do want to tell you one of the words that came to my mind when I was going to describe Spring City Baptist Church. And I think this is hearkening back to my young years here, growing up here, Sunday school and children's church, and even my high school years at this church. But probably more so when I left. When I went to college and I went to Charlottesville and lived for those years, I always had the fondest memory of this place. And those years that I grew up here were not without trouble. They were not without disappointment. A lot of my friends and families, they left, and that was heartbreaking. But as I would be in Blacksburg or be in Charlottesville living and going about my life and about my studies, I always would think back to Spring City Baptist Church, and it just put a smile on my face. And it was just a warmness in my heart of the people here and of what happens here. And if there's one word that I think that I could pull out that would say during those years that I was not here that described my thought of this church, it was stable. And it was like I'm going through these changing years of my life and changing circumstances of my life. But as I would think back to this place, there was a thought and a sense of stability here. And I appreciate that. And that's kind of what spurred on this message, the church being the pillar and ground of the truth. And I hope that you will continue to be faithful to Spring City Baptist Church as your health and your body allows you to be here. But we do live in a day of apostasy. That word apostasy simply means a turning away of the truth. And the Lord warned us. He told us in the last days that those who've been in the church and those who've been active and those who've been a vital part of the body will turn away, having itching ears, and they'll turn away from the truth, and they'll be drawn away by false teachers and false doctrines. And we don't want that to happen to anybody here. But more than that, we don't want anybody in this church to just start to think, well, Spring City's just not as valuable as it ought to be in my life. Or going to church is just not an important thing. It's just we'll fit it in when we can, but it's just not that important. And I'm telling you, when we get to that point in our lives, especially if you're saved today, that is a dangerous place to be. The assembling of the saints together, as Brother Mike preached, is safe. Amen? We get bombarded with the world all the time out there. Listen, we come to this place, let's just say we're here for 2 hours, three times. So you're, let's just say, 6 hours out of a week. You're around the saints of God at Spring City. The rest of the time, we're out there in the world. And the technology and everything else is influencing us. And you just got to settle it in your mind and settle it in your heart. I'm going to be at that place when the doors are open. And that place means a lot to me. Listen, and it's a stabilizing part of my life. So Paul writes to Timothy under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 15 that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, you read that two different ways. The house of God, we typically talk about this building, don't we, as the house of God. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They called the temple the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He's talking about the temple. He's referencing that structure, that building. And praise God, he's given us a really nice building. We've got one of the finest church buildings to come and assemble in and meet in. And, you know, some of these guys talking about the new sanctuaries that they built and all the technology that's in it. And listen, that's between them and God. I'm glad it's kind of simple here. Amen. I appreciate it. I know we kind of pull our hair out sometimes, Brother Gary, about microphones feeding back and that kind of stuff. But really and truly, if we lost all this, we'd still have church. Amen. And I appreciate that. And so there is some order and there is some expectations that God has for the saints when we assemble together. Of course, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, he tells that Corinthian church, let all things be done decently and in order. And we try to do that here because our God is a God of order. It would be totally chaotic if we came in and I just stood up and said, all right, who's going to preach today? Somebody got a song you can sing. You know, that's what they were doing in Corinth. There was no order there, and God wrote them that whole first epistle to put the order back in place. But also, I think we can make the application that not only is the house of God the building where the saints assemble, the church house, if you will, but our house, or our body, I should say, is also called the house of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It's called the temple of the living God. And if you're saved this morning, the Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you. And so these verses are good regardless whether it's talking about the physical building that we meet in or whether it's talking about our physical body that is the house of the Holy Ghost. And we understand the church is not necessarily the structure. The church is the people. Amen. We understand all of that. But God has some definite expectations for us. And he says, I'm going to tell you how you ought to behave at the house of God. But then he goes on to say it's the church of the living God, which ought to elevate this thing above anything else in our life. But lastly, he says it's the pillar and the ground of the truth. When the Lord wrote that first epistle to the Corinthian church, there were a whole lot of issues in their conduct when they came together to assemble. There was carnality in that church. God writes to them and says, I need some of you to teach, but you can't teach. You're so carnal, you can't teach. And he says, some of those saints there, when Paul came to town, they'd come to church. And when Silas or Barnabas came to town, they'd come to church. And when Apollos came to town, they'd come to church. But if their favorite preacher wasn't there, they weren't coming. And so God had to deal with their favoritism, and he had to deal with their separation from open sin in the assembly, and he had to deal with their sanctification, and he wrote a whole chapter on their charity or lack thereof. Just a whole lot of issues when they came together and the behavior that they had together as an assembly. And so God obviously is very interested in that. And the church, the body of Christ, and I know I've said this before, and Brother Ron said this, but the church is a big deal. I mean, it ought to be just one of your highlights of your life that you're a member at Spring City Baptist Church, or that you attend Spring City Baptist Church. And we praise the Lord for that. And I want for everybody here, but especially the young people that are in here, and praise God, man, you guys, it's so fun to preach to you. I want you to have the same experience. And I want you to value this church like I did in my heart when I graduated high school and went to college. And I think, my wife and I talk about this all the time, I think that first semester at Virginia Tech, I realized how important this place was when I wasn't here. And it wasn't feasible to drive back every Sunday to church. And I thank God for Auburn Baptist Church and Pastor Shake Smith and Brother Ben Thompson, amen, that prod, that goad. Hey, let's go to church. Well, we're going to church. I praise God for that. I praise God for Colonial Baptist Church and Pastor Ed Leek. And man, just had some precious memories in those places. And some of the saints and the people there, I'll never forget them. And I owe a debt of gratitude to them for helping me to get where I'm at today. And it's not to say anything negative about those churches, but they're not Spring City. They weren't the church I grew up in. So the church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. There's three definitions of the word pillar that I'd like to cover in 20 minutes. Good luck. But we'll do our best. The word pillar, when you look it up in the dictionary, comes from the root word pile. A pile. Well, that's not very valuable, is it? Especially if it's a pile of rocks that you got to try to spread out shovel by shovel. You sort of don't like them. Been there, done that. If you've got a pile of dirt, it's just a pile. Right? You got a pile of firewood. It's not stacked, it's not orderly, it's not split, it's just a pile. And we tend to sort of devalue those things and think, well, that's just, you know, that's a pile of it. But oh, the Lord. He says, that church, that important thing, that central feature in your life, God said, it's a pillar. And so that word pillar comes from the word pile, which means a heap of irregular parts and proportions that vary. And a pile or a pillar, we think about it as vertical, don't we? And we'll get to that here in a minute, that structural piece. But did you know that a pillar could also be horizontal? I mean, I've seen a pile of rock that stretches on for days on road construction sometimes. And really that word pile or pillar comes from a nautical term to describe a breakwater. Now, I preached on pillars in the church some time ago, and we really talked about this in depth. But that word pile is a reference to a breakwater on a beach. And if you've ever seen that, maybe you've seen constructed breakwater that then allows ships and boats to come into a harbor. And that's where that word comes from. And so the point of all of that is when the waves are out there in the ocean, the tides are fluctuating and the waves are bashing and the winds are blowing, that breakwater, that pile of rocks that stretches out and just provides that little opening, the water inside that harbor is just as calm and peaceful. It's safe. I'd say attending this church on a regular basis would be a safe thing for you spiritually. God has our best interest in mind. When we preach the Word of God, we are preaching the counsel of God because God loves us and cares for us. It's just a safe place to be because of that breakwater and that pillar that it is, and it keeps out all the wicked doctrines of the world, and it keeps out all the winds of doctrine of the world. And while there may be some waves that get through that opening in that breakwater, they're nowhere near as violent as they might be if you were just out there in the open ocean by yourself. Miss Rose mentioned in her testimony that when she walked into the sanctuary, it was such a blessing in my heart that she just felt like the weight of the world and the cares of life just kind of melt off. And you understand, probably everybody in here has walked in, or some of you are carrying them this morning. You've walked in with burdens and troubles and trials in your life. But I'm telling you, when you've got a church family like this, that you can tell this is what's going on in my life, would you pray for me? All of a sudden, those waves that were rocking your world, they just get a little bit smaller because you got a bunch of people that care for you and pray for you. And by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ, He still commands the winds and waves. That great hymn, Be Still My Soul. And so that breakwater provides rest, and it provides peace, and it provides calm, and it provides safety. And the church being the pillar of truth, you know, truth is a safe thing as well. Lies are dangerous. Lies caused the human race to fall into sin in the Garden of Eden. But truth is safe. Even when the truth hurts, it's still safe. It is very safe when the preacher gets up and preaches, the Lord says, thou shalt not, or take heed, or abstain, or flee from these things. That's all truth, and it's all safety for your life. The danger comes in when the lies are told, like those false prophets back during Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel's day, where they would come in and say, peace, peace, but God didn't say peace. And the men that preached the truth, they were trying to help that nation. And the pastors that preach the truth today in our churches, they're trying to help the churches. It's just a safe thing to follow the Word of God and obey the Word of God and obey the truth. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He invited in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what a beautiful picture that is of an inner harbor and a safeness, the calmness, the safety of that place. But it's provided by that pillar, provided by the breakwater. Brother Mike mentioned this in Philippians 3:1, repetitively hearing the truth is a safe thing. I don't know about you, but I don't remember everything that I hear preached to me. Some of you got minds like a steel trap, but you don't either. And you know, we need those things repeated over and over and over again. And that repetition, it's not laborious, and it shouldn't be boring to us. We ought to be thankful, and we ought to realize the safety that's involved in that and the peace that that brings to our lives. One of the rebukes of the church at Corinth, the Lord told him in chapter 14, he said, every time you come together, he said, somebody's got a psalm, somebody's got a message, somebody's got a saying, somebody's got something that's the newest, fangled, you know, trendy thing they saw on TikTok. Connect it all together to today. But you know, the safest thing a church can do is to open that Bible that they're very familiar with. The safest thing a pastor can do is open that Bible that he studied for decades and say, thus saith the Lord. And it brings peace and safety and calmness to the church, because the church is the pillar of truth. The pillar of truth. The second definition for the word pillar is probably what we all think about, that it's a foundation or a support structure. It is that on which a structure rests. So, yeah, I was talking to the boys downstairs this morning about the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. Over there in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so if you're saved this morning, say amen. Amen. You have the rock, capital R rock, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. He is your foundation of your life. And of course, Matthew chapter 7, we're all familiar. If you would just turn over there. I've been preaching a whole lot and you've been listening, so let's turn a little bit. Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Everyone's familiar with this parable, but repetition's safe. Amen. Everybody was probably taught these things in Sunday school growing up, and it was either here or other place or in children's church, but to repeat these things is safe. It's not grievous. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus is talking about foundations. He's talking about the importance of the right foundation. And he says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon what substance? Upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And of course, that's a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. And listen, if your life is founded on Him, if you've repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus, He saved your soul, and He's the rock of your salvation. He is the foundation upon which you are building your Christian life. And every day you make decisions. Every day I make decisions, and we're building on that foundation. I'll give this quick illustration. I don't have a whole lot of time to do this, but I'll give it. And I was telling the guys, you know, in my line of work and the projects and new constructions that I've been on over my years, the very first thing, if you're going to build a house, the very first thing that goes in is the foundation. And the foundation is crucial. It's critical. Because if it's not right or it's not solid, it's not going to hold up. And only time will tell. Only the winds and the waves and the storms and the changing of the seasons and the freeze and thaw cycles that we experience in Virginia, just over time, the first two or three years may not show up. In fact, the first two or three years, everybody will say, what a beautiful house that is. But 30 years in, when the foundation's cracked and the back wall's fallen down and the roof's caving in, people don't drive by and say, what a beautiful house. They say, what a shame. What a disaster. And so I hope this morning that Jesus is your foundation. But I was telling the boys downstairs, when I have clients that are building a new house, they'll get that foundation up, and then the decisions start. And they have to pick what kind of flooring goes into that house. Is it hardwood or is it carpet? Is it tile or is it vinyl? And then they got to pick the wall colors. Before they pick the wall color, they got to pick what goes on a wall. Is it drywall? Is it shiplap? Is it paneling? What's on the outside? Is it brick? Is it siding? Is it And they can make whatever decision they want to make. Be whatever they want it to be. And they go in the kitchen and they have to decide what are the cabinets, what color, what's the hardware, what's the sink like, what's the countertop material. And they go in the bathrooms and do the same thing. You understand, it's just all of these decisions, but it's all built upon the foundation. And that's how the Christian life is. Jesus Christ is our foundation if you're saved. But every day we choose, am I going to build with wood, hay, stubble? Or am I going to build with gold, silver, precious stones? And we'll not know what the end of that is until we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I hope Spring City Baptist Church is a foundational support of your life. And I hope you're building with the right materials upon it. You're familiar with Samson. I'm coming back to Matthew. Just hold your place. You're familiar with Samson in Judges 16 when they plucked his eyeballs out and he was down there in that mill house working like an animal, working like a mule, just grinding, grinding, grinding. Finally, his hair starts to grow again and God's faithful to that Nazarite vow and he begins to give him his strength back. And the Philistines all get together on one of the holidays of their god Dagon and they say, hey, bring Samson up here. That guy causes all that torture. Bring him up here. Let's make sport of him. Let's make fun of him. Let's poke fun at him. Let's laugh at him. And so they bring Samson up and he's the butt of all the jokes and he's the one that's taken all the blasphemy, against God. And there's a young man that's led him up there. He has no eye. He has no sight. And he says, would you let me stand next to the pillar of the house? I feel sort of tired. I'm, and he says, let me feel that pillar. And he gets his hands on those pillars and he says, God, strengthen me one more time. And he bows himself upon those pillars and they brings the whole house down. And he kills more Philistines in his death than he ever did in his whole life. That pillar is the structure. It holds up. It's that foundation. It's the support on which a structure rests. And the church of the living God is to be the foundation, the support for truth in this world and in your life. To finish out Matthew 7, it says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, verse 26, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. You know the application here, verse 25 and verse 27. It's the same flood. It's the same wind. It's the same storm. Right? We all go through similar things in this life. But you can tell real quick who the folks are that have their life founded on Jesus Christ. And whose pillar is the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And whose church is their pillar in their life. I'll give a testimony this morning. I don't think she would mind it at all. But many of you remember a couple of years ago, while they were at church, Brother Tim, Miss Jamie Ball's house up at Rosedale burned down while they were at church. And thankfully, their son was at home. He was sleeping after a long shift of work and was able to call and get out and get some of the things. But Miss Jamie asked me to come back and do a planting plan for her new to her house now. They've rebuilt the whole thing back. But she gave me this testimony. She said, I just want to tell you how much, she said, I love my church. And that's Source Creek Community Baptist Church. And she said, when that happened, we were at church. And she said, we came. And she said, I was just devastated standing there watching my house burn down. And she said, within about an hour, she said, all of my church people showed up and they got crock pots and they got tables and they got food. And she said, they made sure we had everything that we needed. And she said, they fed all of those firemen that were there fighting that fire. And the firefighter said, we never had anything like that happen before. You know what that is? That's a church family that's a pillar in your life. That's strength and foundation and structure. Praise the Lord for it. But all those that decide to build their lives upon the sand. And the application here is, and I must hasten. The application is, if you look at verse 24, Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. Did Jesus speak the truth? Amen. Sure he did. He is the truth. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. Same message, would you say? Same truth went out. The difference was the wise people said, we're going to do what Jesus says. The foolish people said, I'm not going to listen to that. And is that not the dividing line in our churches today? The truth gets preached. It goes out to many people, many different ears. Some say, I'll heed that, Lord. I'll do that. Thank you for giving me the truth. That's safe, Lord. That's good. Others say, I'm not interested.
and they'll build their life upon the sand. And when the winds come and the waves beat against it and the winds blow and the floods come, it'll be obvious. It'll be obvious. Come back with me now. I tell you what, let's just go to Genesis 35. I'll give you this last point. I really wish I could preach a little longer on each of these points. I trust that's me wanting to do that. I trust the Lord is moving things along at His pace. Genesis 35. The third definition of the word pillar. So the first definition was a pile, a heap of irregular pieces put together. And it could be horizontal or vertical. The next definition we just looked at is a foundation or a support, that upon which a structure rests. The third definition of a pillar is a monument. It's a monument that is raised. Now get this. To commemorate a person or a remarkable transaction. It's a monument raised to commemorate a person or a remarkable transaction. We don't have time to run all these references this morning, but Jacob set up a pillar at Bethel. Remember what happened there? He wrestled with the Lord all night. And he said, God, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Hey, I tell you what, it'd be a good thing for a lot of the saints at Spring City to have that kind of a fortitude with God and say, God, we're not going to let you go. We're not going to quit bugging you about this until you bless this church for the next generation. You know, sometimes, can I just let you in on a fault of mine? Sometimes I think in my mind, well, that ought to be obvious to God. I mean, Jeff, if he knows all things, right, he ought to know that. He ought to know that we want this church to go on. But I think sometimes God sits in heaven and just says, well, how bad do you want it? And Jacob, he was in a mess, you understand. And he's wrestling with God that night. And he says, let me go, I got to go. Angel of the Lord said, I got to go. He said, daylight's coming. And he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. Boy, he does. And you know what? That whole nation exists today because of that blessing and to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Anyway, the Bible says that when all that was done, Jacob erected a pillar. And you know what he did? He took a stone and set it up. He didn't fashion it. He didn't shape it. He didn't decorate it. He didn't paint it. He just took a stone and set it up. So that's a memorial of a monumental transaction between me and God. Brother Jeff Bellamy, I'm sure he still does this, Brother Jeff Bellamy, when I met him, went to his house over in Bristol, and I walked by, he had mulch in all of his flower beds, except for when you came off the driveway and walked up the front walkway, he had a dogwood tree there, and there's about, I don't know, 10 or 12 river rocks piled up. And you know, me being the spiritual person I am, I said, you gonna change out your mulch to river rock? And he said, no, brother. He said, those are all the prayers that God's answered specifically in my ministry. I think he took them with him to Chattanooga. Wouldn't hurt us a bit to do things like that. Just a little pillar, just a little pile to mark what a monumental thing God's done. He erected another pillar when he and Laban decided to part. And they erected that pillar, they again turned a stone up and said, this stone's witness between me and you about this remarkable transaction we've just done, which was Jacob's leaving with all the cattle and Laban's left behind. But still, nonetheless, and so the church, Spring City Baptist Church, what are we? We're just a bunch of irregular parts put together to commemorate the most remarkable transaction that's ever happened in all of human history. And that is Jesus Christ paying for our sins on the cross of Calvary with His blood. So every time we assemble together, it's a testimony to the world. What He did on that cross is still effectual. It's still a big deal 2,000 plus years later. It's a remarkable transaction. May our church be a pillar of that, a monument to that. Jacob also set up a pillar when his beloved Rachel died. Probably everybody in here has cemetery plots, and you know where you could go to see the gravestones and the headstones. Brother Gary mentioned it, Memorial Day, all the cemeteries where veterans are, they'll have the American flag on them. What is that? Well, those gravestones are just a now fancy shaped form of what they used in the Bible, and they just raise a pile of stones over somebody's grave to commemorate them. And what I liked about this, if you look in Genesis 35 and verse 20, the Bible says, "And Jacob set up a pillar upon her grave," that's Rachel's grave. And it says, "That is the pillar of Rachel's grave." And the last three words are, "Unto this day." Would to God, Spring City Baptist Church would be a pillar of reminder to this world of the greatest man that ever gave his life, Jesus Christ. And while we're not marking his grave, we are to be a commemoration of a remarkable transaction. And it says it's there unto this day. Now, I don't know if that's still true today. I would venture to say there's probably a remnant of a stone laying there. If God said it was there, it's there. But it was much talked about during this 90th anniversary. It was much discussed, and I know you're familiar with my heart's attitude to see this church carry on in the old paths and the ways that God's taught us all these years until the rapture takes us home. And I pray that this church at Spring City, this church, will be a pillar of truth unto that day till he takes us out. The church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father,